Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Amen. We're in a series called The God of Miracles, and the objective of this series has been to try to teach us how to interact with God as the miracle worker, how to expect miracles in our lives, how to position ourselves for miracles, how to see the Lord move powerfully in our lives in a number of different ways. We're in session 18 and have still got a bunch more to go. And so I am excited about today's subject, which is entitled Supernatural Graces on Our Lives. And what I want to do in this session that's a little bit different from some of the others, you know, in a week or two, we're going to do one on healing, and then we're going to do one on supernatural finances. What this one's different. What I am so excited about this message and its uniqueness in this series is in this message specifically, we're talking about how to get God involved, not just in those one-off miracle moments, but in a sustained part of our lifestyle specifically related to graces resting on our life that we get to operate in every day, every year, every month, you know, for our lifestyle, not just the miracle moments. So much of this series has been pressing into the Lord for miracle moments, and we want to continue to do that. This is almost the exact opposite. This is pressing in for miracle graces that you operate in all the time. Miracle graces that are, it's not you, it's God. But it's become so part of how you operate, who you are, how you do life, that it almost feels like it's you. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about miracle graces. And so my hope is that we'll walk out of here with really a new tool in our tool belt. If this is not an idea that you've really fully developed in your thinking, if you pay attention today, I want to promise you this. This session has the power to make great impact in your life. I mean, what we're going to talk about today has great impact. So, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I want to give us kind of a start off here. Paul talks a lot about this subject of grace. And so we're actually, in this session, we're going to be looking at a lot of Paul verses as we kind of move forward here. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, this is Paul. We think of Paul and we think awesome. We think, you know, a pillar in God's kingdom. We think an apostle. We think a lot of different things. And Paul says, I am what I am because of God's grace, not because I'm awesome. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. But not I, the grace of God that was within me. So here's what I want to look at this. We think about Paul, and we think about him as a hard worker. We think about him as a wise leader. We think about him as a disciple maker, a church planter, and a guy who like worked tirelessly. I mean, he put in a ton of energy, and he makes it clear. He says, all that's true, but it's actually not me. It's the grace of God that I've figured out how to tap into so I can do things I can't do. It's the grace of God at work within me. I used to read this verse and I thought it was Paul trying to be humble. And I think that that is a wrong interpretation of this verse. He talks about it too much. This is actually a tapping into something that is of a supernatural sort. I want us to talk about what Paul is describing here as grace. I want to talk about it as power. I want to talk about Paul identifying, because he does it over and over in the New Testament. I want to talk about it as Paul identifying yet one more aspect of the power of God, which we can have access to. And if we don't access it, we don't operate in that power. All we have is ourselves. If we do access it, however, we can do things that we can't do. We can do miracles. We can supernaturally operate. We can actually wind up doing things in any area of life that in and of our own strength, we can't pull off. But with his grace, we can now do things we can't do. Does that make sense? This is a grace that empowers. It goes beyond our natural capacities. That's really what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the difference between you trying real hard and God helping you do something. I'll give you a great example of what I'm talking about that I am all up in the middle of right now, and that is this building we're moving into. I have worked my tail off before to try to make things happen for this church and for other organizations in order to take steps. I've worked my tail off, and the Lord has blessed that. I have done nothing for this building, and it is going so much better, stronger, faster, moneyer than anything I've ever touched before. The grace of God is touching it in a way that is different than me doing the work. You see the difference? Same thing, getting a building, moving into a building. But when God's grace is on it, there's a wind that allows you to accomplish things you actually can't take credit for. It not just can't take credit for, you realize this is so much more than what I can produce in and of myself. So it's not a humility thing. It's an actual thing. The grace of God is resting on Forerunner Fellowship, getting into that space in a way that I've never seen God's grace rest before. Okay? That's not attributed to good leadership, at least not human leadership. That's the wind of God. It's supernatural. That He's helping us along again and again. I'm talking about that concept in every area of your life. That idea, not how hard can I work to be awesome at this so that I do it better. I'm talking about a power that allows you to do something at a level 10 that you and of yourself can only do at a level 1. I mean, when you work your tail, I mean, you prep, you do it, you put all your energy into it, and at the end of the day, you can only get a 1. I'm talking about grace. It's power from heaven to accomplish things you can't do. Now, this is a fun way to live. To operate in the supernatural power of God, not just in those one-off miracles, not just the healing or the this story, but I'm talking about walking in grace, walking in the supernatural power of God in a number of different areas and situations. Are you bringing me Legos? You're bringing me Legos. My son's bringing me Legos. Okay. We'll call this blue Lego grace. Okay. This will help us. Oh, look, I got double grace. Okay, double portion. Okay. Now, what we're going to do in this session that's going to be a little bit different from some of the others, normally I would be sharing stories kind of at the end. I'd give a bunch of Bible verses, and then at the end I'd share some personal testimonies. I'm going to be sharing testimonies throughout, and the testimonies, they're not really stories, because that's really not what this session is. This session isn't about the one-off miracle. It's about graces that are resting on our lives that we're able to operate at a 10 or even a 5 when in and of ourselves, we really are a 1. I'm going to tell some of those stories. I'm going to give an example of, you know, what's available, and then I'm going to tell a little bit of, you know, how I've seen that work in my life and some of the lives around me. I'm going to be kind of sharing those as we go. And again, part of my reasoning for this whole series isn't only to teach the Bible. This is a little hot. Is there a way we can get this down just a little bit? This is a little hot for me. There isn't only that that we want to teach the word. Of course, we want to teach the word. But I also want to provide you a real life example, a human that you can look at and go, well, Brad's really not that awesome. If Brad can do that, I can do that. Exactly. That's exactly right. And so that's my point in so many of these sessions. Okay, let's pull up James 4, verse 6. James 4, 6 tells us that we can have access to more of this power, okay? James 4, 6 says, but he gives us more grace. He gives us more grace. That is why the scripture said God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I want you to catch this. In some area of your life where you feel like you're terrible at something, you might well be terrible at that thing. Get God's grace on it and stop being terrible. You don't even have to be, it doesn't have to be you. It can be him. See, because we know that his grace is sufficient in our weakness. Still a little lower. His grace is sufficient in our weakness. He says, but here, if you'll operate in humility, see, here's the difference. Operating in pride is, I can do this thing at a level 2. I'm awesome. Or a 5 or whatever. Humility says, I don't care how much I can do. I want more from God. I want God to work powerfully within me. I don't want it to be about me. I actually want it to be about him, and the less of me that's involved in it and the more of him that's involved in it, it's going to be safer for everybody, and there's going to be more power on it. We're going to get more done. This is the revelation that I want us to get this morning. He gives us more grace. There is no area of your life that the Lord would not, at least in some season, in some amount, in some time period, be unwilling to give you more grace. He gives us more. This is about posturing ourselves to receive more from God so we can be awesome. This is about posturing ourselves to get more from God so that we can actually operate more in the kingdom and less in our flesh. Listen, I am so grateful for hard-working people, but it's way more fun to hear the story of a hard-working God in a weak human being. Furthermore, it's safer. Furthermore, it winds up actually being more promoting of the kingdom instead of promoting of the individual. Listen, this is, we can have access to this. I want you to start surveying in your life, what are you terrible at? What are you like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst at this? That's okay. Identify those things and begin to press in for God's help, not just your betterment. Listen, I want for us to walk, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is an essential part of Christianity, but it's not enough. We need God. You didn't get saved because you were cool. You got saved because you were humble, at least for 1 second, and went, oh God, I need you. And then God said, oh, well, if you need me, if you're not sufficient on your own, you need something from me, I will give it to you called free salvation. I'll give you free grace. We can get more grace from him again and again in every season of life. This is really good news for us. And you can grow in the grace of God. So wherever you're at right now, in whatever area you're thinking about, you could actually get more. Man, there are moments where I see the areas of God's grace that have been operating in my life for years. And most of the time when I see those, it's when the Lord lifts the grace for 15 minutes. And I go, oh, dang. Left to myself, this is still a really bad thing. Like, this is a train wreck without you. Oh, God, please, please, bring it back. Bring that grace back. And sometimes he gives us those little moments to allow us a window into our own soul. Because actually, as we grow as believers, I think we might have a wrong idea that we're growing in our own awesomeness, putting trophies on our shelf about how much we have accomplished. And what's actually happening is you are becoming less, you are decreasing, and he is increasing in your life. And if at any point you take that back and decide you're going to do it on your own, you're a train wreck like you were before. It's learning how to operate in the grace of God, learning how to operate in his divine power, not in your own strength, your own awesomeness, your own pick whatever it is. I am feeling more and more in this season of my life the need to lean into the grace of God. And as I do, I find things working better than when I was 20 trying to do it all in my own strength. And so I want to save you 20 years of hardship. Like, start giving into the grace of God now. Start asking the Lord. And it's really simple. This is not a high and lofty teaching. Here's what it really is. Be humble and self-identify as weak. Whatever the area. Pick the area, the one that you're thinking of right now. Self-identify before the Lord. Lord, I'm weak. I need you. Not, I need you to help me be better and awesome in my strength. I need stuff I don't have from heaven. Help from heaven. Wisdom from heaven. Strength from heaven. Money from heaven. Pick it from heaven. I need something from up there that I don't have down here that's all you. And then I'll steward what you give me, whether strength or wisdom or love or whatever. I'll steward what you give me, but I got to get more from you. You say you give more grace. I need it. Give you just some examples to give you kind of a picture of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sustained grace. Now, again, think of that as supernatural power. And no matter how cool you are, none of you have supernatural power in and of yourself. You're not that cool. There are no Avengers in this room, okay? You don't have supernatural power in and of yourself. If you touch it at all, it's because God gave it to you. Okay, I'm talking about supernatural power from God in your business. Not you're such an awesome businessman or woman, God's supernatural power operating through your business. I'm talking about sustained grace to lead. Not you're an awesome leader, you're an awesome leaner. You know how to lean on the grace of God and therefore be a superb leader, not because you're awesome, but because you know how to lean into the grace of God. I'm talking about grace to chase him. When I got saved, I said, Lord, I'm so weak. I've got so many distractions. I've got so many reasons why I had hard. I think I had read one child's book by the time I got saved at 18. I was not a reader. I was dyslexic. I had all kinds of learning disabilities. There were all kinds of reasons why I was going to have a difficult time chasing God, but I started to ask for grace. I said, God, help me to love you. See, that's a prayer to get grace. Help prayers are grace prayers. Help prayers are recognition that you don't have it figured out, that you don't have enough, that whatever you have, it is insufficient. Help prayers are great prayers. Grace to chase him. Doesn't that sound like a beautiful thing to rest on your life? Don't you want grace in your life to pursue God? Not just get with it, grit. I'm going to pursue God, by golly, because I'm a godly man. I'm talking about help. Where the Father goes, I like you so much, I'll help you like me. I will help you love me. I will help you chase me. I would way rather that than show up before heaven and all the angels go, wow, that Brad in his own strength, he really chased God as best as he could. I think he got all the way to like a 2. As opposed to, he knew how to lean into God and walked in a 10 all his days. I want to walk in the grace of chasing God. I want power to do it. Sustained grace to serve. Not you're a harder worker. You've got more power and invigoration from the Holy Spirit to work hard. You see the difference? When you work in your own strength, you wear out. When you work in his strength, there is no end. But there's a fine line between those two, because you still have to get up and do the thing. You still got to engage. It's not like the Lord's going to do the work while you're asleep. You got to take the step, but it's about where you're leaning your strength. Is it on me or is it on him? And frequently, it's on you unless you're intentional that it's on him. Okay, that's a real good little barometer for all of us, is how aware are you that it's God as opposed to that it's you? Sustained grace for the disciplines of the faith. Praying, fasting, giving, reading the word. I don't want to do those things to be a good Christian. I want power from heaven to engage in those activities. I want to be able to engage God fully in those activities because his power is at work within me, not because I'm more committed than the next person. I want power. I want help. I don't want to do it because then it puffs me up and it builds pride in my life, which God says he opposes the proud. He takes grace away from proud people. I don't want to be in that boat. I want to be a dummy who's leaning on God, who's got lots of power, because it's God powerfully working through a weak vessel that's submitted. Sustained grace is in your relationships. You ever think about that? How do I have the grace to have these relationships, or to have a good relationship with my spouse, or have this or that? Sustained graces on our lives to help us in our relationships. The more that happens in life, the more that, you know, things kind of move forward with family and ministry and stuff in my life, I find I am needing more and more supernatural grace from heaven for my relationships. Because where I was able to give so much more when I had so much less going on, I have so much more going on and so much less to give. I now need, if these relationships are going to stay strong, I can't be the glue anymore. It's now got to be God. And so I'm now leaning into God going, ha, 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 help, help, give me grace in my relationships. And then there's those little moments where the Lord, you see him do it, it wasn't you. You see him give you a bit of wisdom on how to navigate life a little differently than the past season, and it wasn't your idea, it was the Lord. There are graces available for relationships. There's graces available for your emotions. I want to tell this, everybody in our church, everybody who's going to watch and see this later, if you struggle in the area of your emotions, I want to tell you there is a grace available to you where God can help you manage those emotions. Anger, frustration, sadness, you pick an emotion. God is big enough to help you, but there's this process of learning. How do we submit our emotions to God and ask him for help? God, I'm very angry all the time. Help me not be angry. Not, I'm going to not be angry because I'm awesome. I'm going to overcome the anger monster. I need help with this anger monster. If you don't tame this thing, I'm going to hurt them all. They're all going down. Ask God for grace. See, the other side of this is he says grace is available, but he doesn't tell us how much, how quickly. He doesn't say how many times we're going to have to pray and press in for it. There's a little bit of a mystery to this equation because it's not as simple as you ask one time half-heartedly and it's over. There's a process. But even that process builds humility because hunger is a gift from God. And if you got everything you wanted the first time you asked for it, you would never be hungry for anything. Hunger is a gift that God actually wants to grow in us. It's part of the equation. I want to tell you, there is a capacity for sustained grace for whatever it is that you're thinking of. Whatever. So now I'm going to tell you some of the areas. Grace to in our job life. So let's just talk about our profession. Whether you're a minister or you work and you own your own business or you're an employee at Wherever'sville. I want to talk about the graces, power that's available to us in our job situations. Colossians 1:29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all my energy. No. I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is grace to work supernaturally hard. Not hard, supernaturally hard. You know, if you eat right and exercise and do all the right things, you only have so much energy. If you do everything right, you only have so much energy. But with God, there's no end. This is learning how to work with his strength. This is a capacity we have access to. The grace to work supernaturally hard at our job. Not to just, you know, throw our weight into it, but to watch the Lord allow us to, as Paul said, strenuously contend. Just think about that language that Paul's using. But he says, I'm not doing it in my own strength. And again, he's not trying to be humble. He's learned how to get heavenly power to do things humans can't do. All my days, I want to do things humans can't do. I am committed to it. I want to live in supernatural graces, miracles, authority, understanding. I want to operate in things humans can't operate in because it's impossible. But God says with him, all things are possible. That's where I want to live. You do too. I mean, the fact that you keep coming back for these miracle series sessions that I keep saying the same thing every week, just change the topic. It's like, you're hungry for this. We want to see God move powerfully in our lives. There is a supernatural grace to work hard. A grace to handle, I don't know how else to describe it, info overload. You're in a new situation. Pretend you just started a job and it's a situation that it's a realm of work you've never touched before. It's a whole new environment. It's a whole new sphere of life. It's a aspect of the economy you've never even touched before. God can give you grace to be awesome at it fast by being able to take in the details with a supercomputer in your head instead of just your little brain. Let me give it to you. Ephesians 1:17. It's real simple. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Everything that is in him, to him, through him, for him, all are all things. The very fact that it is in existence, whether it's understanding of mathematics or it's understanding of this job or it's training for this thing or it's study for this test, there is nothing he doesn't know. There's no area the spirit of wisdom and revelation can't touch. Press in and go, God, I don't understand. God, I'm not going to do this well without your help. Father, this is something I need you to make the processor run a lot faster. I need the capacity to catch the details much quicker. He can help you. We're so often held up by our restrictions. It's like we forget we have a relationship with God. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that? Who are you? Like, what? I hope you can't do that. That was never the question. It's can he through you? Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's the journey. The journey is learning how to have him operate through us, how to submit to him, how to hear from him, feel it, how to have him operating through his power in us instead of us operating in ourselves. Listen, if you don't get anything else out of this teaching, let me just say this, and I bet I'm right on probably everybody in the room because I know I'm right about me. You lean too much on your own understanding. You lean too much on your own strength, on your own ability, your own experience, your own wisdom, your own bank account. That's where we tend to lean primarily. And the word says, don't do that. That's the opposite way. That's how lost people have to live because they don't have God. We have God. We don't have to live like lost people. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live powerless. We have the power of God coursing through us. We need to be on a lifelong journey of growing in the grace of God. We would learn exceedingly more how to submit ourselves, our weaknesses, our challenges to him. Grace for marketplace understanding. I love this. I love this verse. Deuteronomy 8:18. Capacities to make money in the marketplace. Power not from you, not because you're smart, not because you're awesome, not because you went to the training seminar. All of those things are helpful. But because God can give you power to do it. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. Whatever level of power you were given yesterday to make wealth, ask for more grace. Not ask that you become more awesome. Not that you become more the sustaining component of it all. Ask for more power to make money. That's what the Bible verse says. It says God's the one that gives the power to make money. So in your marketplace situations, ask God for more power, more grace to be able to even expand whatever area of business, whatever area of work the Lord would give you grace or power to make wealth. Like this is something that the Lord's in. He does this. I'll tell you what, I think that we lean way too much on the natural process that's presented to us in our companies. The natural process that's presented to us in our culture. If you do this, then you can get this. If you do this, then you can get this. And then you can get a raise. And then you can become a manager. Ask the Lord to bypass all that. Say, Lord, I'll work my tail off. I'll go to work every day and I will work hard because the Bible says that you bless hard work. I'm going to go work hard. But I'm not going to go work hard thinking that's the end. I'm going to think that's the beginning of the story. The beginning. And then I'm going to ask you to give me power to make wealth. Power in my business operations. Talk about our family situations. Now, I'm going to get personal here on some things, and I think that this will help, hopefully, everybody. I was in a relationship with a girl. This was when I was a teenager, and I was in a relationship with her for about 4 years, and I was planning to get married. And I said, you know what, Lord? I really, really want grace on my life to live single. Because I want to pursue God in a single environment. I want to be focused in a single way. I want you to give me grace. But Lord, I know I don't really have that grace. I need help from you. Or I'm not going to be able to do that. It's just going to be me striving. And I prayed and prayed. And I finally felt like the Lord was like, I'll give you the grace. So I broke up with the girl that I was planning to marry. And from the moment that that happened, I felt a supernatural endowment land on my life in a way I can't compare to hardly anything else I've ever experienced. I felt such a capacity from God to not have lustful thoughts, to not even long to be in a relationship, to not even long for it. Not like I'm trying real hard. I don't want to be in a relationship because I know that's what I'm supposed to. I'm talking about help from heaven to be single and be really happy about it. Furthermore, to be able to pursue God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength in the midst of that, I prayed for grace for it, grace in my singleness. And I felt the Lord, I'm telling you, I felt like he gave me more help in that area in that season of life than probably anything else in that season of life. I felt the grace of the Lord, and it wasn't me. Because right before that, I was a 19-year-old who wanted to be in a relationship, or 20-year-old. I mean, it's like, that's all very normal stuff. I was praying for grace, and there's grace available. So for some of you who are single now, either by choice or not by choice, pray that in this season, the Lord would give you something beyond yourself. Not you working hard, not you thinking right thoughts. Help from heaven, a supernatural endowment in order to be able to be single and elated in that moment, in that season, however long that lasts, until the Lord's got something different for you. Grace for fatherhood. Oh man, this was another crazy one. So I came out of a season of singleness, and then I see Amy with my, you know, my natural eyes for the first time, or my spiritual eyes, or whatever, my relationship eyes. I'd known her for years. I just never saw her as, oh my gosh, that is an amazing woman that I want to marry. And then one day I did. And we wound up in a relationship, and very quickly we were married. I mean, in a very short period of time, we were married. And I had been in this mindset of, I wanted to live single so that I didn't have anything that would hinder my walk with Jesus. I wanted to live single so that I could pursue God. So then the subject of kids, I was like, oh God, I don't even know what to do about this. I had never thought of myself as having kids. That was never something I had ever, you know, thought of and desired. And I asked the Lord, God, we're going to have kids. I need grace to be a father because I know I can't do it. It's not in me to do it. It's not of my thought processes. It's not even how I was raised. This idea of being a father is not something that comes naturally to me. I need supernatural grace to be a father. And Lord, I've still got all these responsibilities, and these responsibilities seem to be growing, seem to be increasing. I want to tell you, there is a grace to be a father. There is a grace. There is a power that is not, I am not a good father in and of myself, but I know, I feel the Lord operating within me. Little nudges, little moments where I enjoy something, there's no way I could have enjoyed that in my natural self. There's little moments where there's grace for fatherhood. I don't look at it as I try real hard to be a good father. I look at it as I pray real hard to be a good father. And I ask the Lord to help me, and he helps me. And so I'm busy, and I'm a great father. I'm a great father. And it's not my strength, it's his within me, because that was never something that I desired or thought or thought I could even do or be. It's power from heaven. Grace for miracle motherhood. I watch some of these ladies and I am blown away by what they do. And I see it probably more in the ladies, the moms, than I do maybe in any other area of life, a supernatural grace to be a mom with other responsibilities, to keep from pulling all their hair out, to enjoy the kids, even in the midst of sometimes moments that are not enjoyable at all. And yes, every mom struggles like crazy. I know you've all got your freak out moments. It's fine. We all got skeletons in our closet. We're not bringing them out this morning, okay? But here's what I want to say. There is a grace, a power from heaven to not have to give up the kingdom of God to be a mom. Because we're called to the kingdom even before we're called to be moms and dads. We are called to be sons and daughters of God and to do the Great Commission. We're called to do the Great Commission whether you have kids or don't have kids. We're called to do the Great Commission. Spread the gospel. Grow the kingdom. Well, now I got kids. Well, that doesn't get us off the hook. It just expands our territory. Now we've got kids that we need to look at as a primary field, but not the only field. And what happens so often is moms come into motherhood, and this thought process is, I can't do that. I can't, I can't, I can't. You're right. You need to press in for supernatural grace. I have watched my wife become one of the most impressive examples I have ever seen on the planet of a grace on motherhood. She runs the Daniel Academy as her full-time job. She then homeschools our kids. She's actually the one running this church. They just let me preach on Sundays, okay? She is such a better pastor to our small group girls than I am to the guys. She is an incredible investor, and she is such a great mom. She takes those moments. She makes time. She plans those special events. She's got such a grace on her life. Now, listen, I've known Amy since she was 15. This is a supernatural grace from God. I love Amy. I think she's amazing. This isn't that. This is next level. And it's actually an incredible advertisement to all of you moms. There is more grace available to you. There's more grace. there's more grace. This is good news. Because what it means is when you're done, you're out, you can't say yes, you can't take that step. There's no way. You don't need to. You need to learn how to have God powerfully operate through you because there's more grace available. In ministry, look at this verse, Ephesians 3:7. I became a servant, Paul says. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given through the working of his power. You see it? A servant operating by the power of God, not operating by the get with it. Not try harder. Not do better. God, do a miracle. Empower me as a servant to do what I can't do. Paul understood that. One of the reasons we celebrate the heck out of the Apostle Paul is because he learned how to be submitted to grace. We look at him as a superhuman. He had problems like you. He had weird little idiosyncrasies and you know, had weird relatives and everything else, just like you. He had problems and issues and things that he was bad at. But what he was great at was leaning into God and leaning out of himself. Part of the reason I think that the Lord raised Paul up is because Paul in his natural self was so awesome. Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees. He had it all. He had all the credentials, and he had to learn how to lay it all down and say, I count it as nothing. I count it as nothing. Now, God, work powerfully within me. And so he operated in grace. Here he says, I became a servant of the gospel, but all of that servanthood of the gospel, all the work that I do for the kingdom, I don't do it in Paul's strength. I would have run out a long time ago. When you read Paul's life, I don't mean his doctrine. I mean what he did and where he went and where he slept and where he got beat and where he got almost eaten by lions and stuff. You look at it, it's like, this is a nonsense man. This life is insanity. How did he do that? How is he happy? How is he not like embittered and like all angry when he's writing the New Testament? He knew how to lean into the grace of God in a way that you and I need to figure out. He had this thing down in a significant way. It's an area we want to tap into. I want to give you some examples of this area of leadership and doing ministry. When I came to know the Lord, I didn't have an administrative bone in my body. I was the most scatterbrained, just ADD, all over the map person. But I felt the Lord calling me into leadership and into ministry. And I went, well, if we're going to do that, you're going to have to start giving me goods I don't have. Because I'm telling you right now, I can't do that. And it's like the Lord's presence was resting on that. Like, yes, you got it, son. You can't do that. I lead 7 standing meetings every week. At least, that's the low number. Unless I'm on vacation. I lead 7 meetings. I don't mean the preaching meetings. That's something different. Administrative meetings. I lead 7 of them every week as a standing reality. I am not an administrative person, and I lead 7 standing meetings every single week. How do I do that? I don't have the grace to do that in my of myself. But from the power of the Lord, I'm telling you, there is a grace to do things you're bad at. There's a grace to do things you can't do. There's a grace to do things that help move the kingdom forward. Oh, I couldn't possibly do that. I've got too much on my plate. If you're leaning on yourself, you're right, you're done. But if you go, God, is there a way under the sun that you would give me grace to do this thing? Because if you'll give me grace, I can do it. If it's me doing it, then I'm right, I can't do it. But if you'll give me grace, then I can do it. And there's power in that. You see, the kingdom would advance violently if we would lean into this idea, it's God, not me. What can we do today, God, instead of what can I do today? What can I accomplish? No, what can we accomplish? What can I do with you? What do you want to get done? Use me as a puppet. Let's move things forward. There is nothing you can't accomplish through his grace. But I know your human limitations because I have them too. And you're right, you're done. You're right. It's over. There's no more. You got nothing left to give. You're right. But if we learn how to lean into his grace, there's no end to it. And there's seasons and there's times where the Lord's like, yeah, don't do that right now. Stop. No. Just simmer. Okay, so I'm not saying let's go take on things that aren't ours to take on. I'm saying let's take on everything that's ours to take on. Everything. And don't shrink back. Let's take on everything that's ours to take on, and he'll give us grace to do it. Grace to teach a lot. There's grace. I teach three times. Again, I'm sharing this not because I want you to think I'm cool. I'm wanting you to get a picture for how this is real life. This can happen. I teach three times a week at least, sometimes four or five times a week on different subjects. And I have for years. Like, that's, how do you do that? How does that happen? How does that look? It's grace. It's not because I'm awesome. It's because I've learned how to lean. Because I go, God, I need your help, and I'll follow the patterns that you give me. I'll do it the way that you give me. Help me. I want to give you a picture for whatever it is you think you can't do. You can do it five times as much as that. And in 10 years, maybe 10 times as much. Because it's not you. We have been raised to think so much about our limitations defining us. There's nowhere in the word that says that. It's everything in the accuser's voice. It's everything in our own weakness, but it's not the Lord. The Lord's desire was always that we would be part of a supernatural kingdom, doing supernatural things in supernatural power, and it's really 99% him, 1% us, and the 1% us was we just stood up and let the thing happen. You have to stand up, though. You can't sit and you got to stand. You know, you got to do the thing. You got to engage. You got to put your hand to it. But if you do the thing, it happens. See, we have got so much we can tap into. Grace for leading through the unknown. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. I think this verse just applies to every area. It's just such a powerful reality. Not trusting in our own ability, our own limitations, our own experiences, but leaning instead into the power that he has. Helping us to lead through situations you don't know. So many times as small group leaders, you run into a situation where you're like, I don't know what to do here. That's totally fine. Ask God. And tell him you need help because you don't know how to do it. That's actually how we learn. It's way better to be in that position a million times in our life because then we actually learn and we learn from him as the Holy Spirit teaches us. Grace to tackle impossible projects. Think about this in every area of life, but put up that verse in Zechariah 4. This is one of my favorite passages about the house of prayer, actually. The most invigorated, zealous group of people probably to ever build the house of prayer, because of what it cost them to get there. The most invigorated, zealous group to ever want to build the house of prayer travels all the way across the desert from Babylon, travels to Jerusalem to build the house of prayer, and they're so discouraged by the bigness of the project, they quit. They stop building the house of prayer, the most invigorated group that's probably ever been commissioned to build the house of prayer. They quit because it's just too big. It's too much. And this is what they're told. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by the power of your horses or your men or your money or even the governor that sent you down here. It's not by that. It's by my spirit. Says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain. This was this giant project, the mountain of the old temple. All the pieces, parts of the old temple had made this huge rubble. They destroyed it, dirt, manure, stuff, birds flying all over it, plants growing up in it. It's a mountain, and it's the ugliest, nastiest thing, and it's so painful. And they look at it, and they just go, there's no way. And the Lord's Spirit says, my grace will help you get rid of that mountain. Stop thinking it's about you. What project in your life do you need to tackle? It's too big. It's not too big for him. It's too big for you. Stop thinking it's about you. There's nothing you can't do in him. We have such small thinking. We're limiting ourselves according to whatever littleness we have. The biggest among you is so small. Let's not operate according to our own strength. Let's operate according to his. Listen, I don't have time to go through the disciplines of the faith. I just want to give you some quick points here. Paul said again, 1 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in the fact that you're weak and you know you're weak. Now I can be powerful because you've laid down the reins and said, I'm a weakie and I need help from heaven. He says, my grace is sufficient for you in that heart posture. Therefore, Paul says, I'm going to boast all the more about how weak I am. Because when I'm weak, that's when I get God power. When I'm strong, that's when I have to do it in my own strength. And my own strength, even if I'm really strong, has a very low ceiling. But when I do it in his strength, there's no cap. This is available to you related to pursuing him in the areas of prayer, fasting, giving, reading the word. Maybe I'll find some other time somewhere, somehow else. I have seen the Lord give me profound grace. I'm not talking about I worked harder, I'm smarter. I'm talking about I pressed in for grace and said, God, I want this in my life in the area of prayer. I want it. I can't do it. I'm a long way from being able to do this in the area of fasting. I can't do it. I can't do this in the area of giving away my money, but I want to. Would you give me more grace so that I can do things I can't do? You see in this grace thing, I'm talking about power in your life that's not about a miracle. It's about a walking miracle. It's about a walking reality of having the capacity to do things that human beings can't do, that you and your weakness can't do, but there's grace available. I want you to start to identify, where are the areas in your life? You don't have to have it all figured out right now. Find one too. Start to think of the areas in your life where you just feel like, I'm just so weak at that. I just can't. I'm so bad at that. I don't even care about that. I just don't even care. Ask him for those areas, in those areas, for him to help you, to give you grace, not for you to be more awesome you, for you to receive more of his heavenly help.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.